Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, A Tale of Spiritual Communication, Healing, Miracles, and of course a guide to your inner soul awareness. Today I am delighted to welcome an accomplished metaphysician, medium, and author, Angela Dawn, of Love Never Dies, From Heaven My Sister Speaks. Angela, like me, is fortunate to have discovered the truth that we are spiritual beings having a physical life experience and have unlimited potential to thrive in either dimensions, heaven or earth, or both if we choose. If we choose love and spirit, everything is possible. Hello, Angela, and thank you for joining me today.
Hello, Cheryl. I'm so happy to be here, and thank you for having me today as well.
You're welcome. Angela, as listeners of Healing From Within are well aware, my guests and I share our experiences honestly and without reservation or regard for any biased emotions that may be shown by those who have not yet achieved a level of higher consciousness or awareness to understand the universal laws of energy and how the game of life is really played. We talk about the duality in life and our spiritual and physical needs and the potential that is ours once we truly discover the commonality between science, spirituality, and theology to answer age-old questions. Who are we? Where do we come from? And why are we here? In today's episode, Angela Dawn, an author and spiritual medium, born and raised in England, who presently resides in Buck County, Pennsylvania, holds a degree from the University of Pennsylvania and a master's from Villanova, has studied at the prestigious Arthur Finley College of Psychic Sciences in England and at the Lilydale Assembly in New York. Today, we'll discuss the journey between worlds, proving that the bonds of love do exist beyond the grave. We will speak about life in heaven or above, about God, the universe, mankind, the reason for living, and the soul's purpose. Angela, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and remember a person, place, or event that may have been a clue to experiences you we're going to have in the work and lifestyle that you would have later on. For I feel the imprint of the adult is already within the child's soul present. So think back for a moment.
Well, growing up as a child in my hometown of Coventry, England, I was naturally just born attracted to going to the local church. In England, we have what's known as spiritualist churches, and my mother used to go to the healing sessions there. If people used to in neighbors or somebody would pass away on the in your neighborhood, we would go to the local church and we would get messages. And so I kind of grew up just believing in that there was something beyond the physical life, that people did continue or go somewhere because the mediums at the church could communicate with them. So it became like a natural part of growing up for me in my culture, in my hometown, as it is in most of England.
What a great gift, because I grew up in New York in a family that had no real understanding of any of this, yet I was a very sensitive child and always sort of knew there was something more and wondered how to go about finding this. So I went to Sunday school in search of stories of the truth of God. I studied philosophy and science and religion in search of answers to these questions, and I have found many answers. You already had a basis in childhood to understand a lot of this, but I have found it through much personal change in my own life. And it's the truth, and it's wonderful at any point when you come to know that we are more than our physical being. So let's go on to talk about the loss of your mother, which was rather unexpected, and not too long after that, your sister, and why your sister was the one who motivated you to write this book.
So yes, growing up in my hometown, I write about in the first chapter about growing up, how we were a close-knit family, how with my parents' divorce when I was a young child, my mother became both mother and father to us, and my elder sister Linda was also like a second mother to us as well. So we were very close all our lives growing up. And even though I'd moved to the United States, we still all visited one another and kept in close contact. And then suddenly in 2006, my mother, who was only 66 years of age, passed away with heart failure very suddenly. And then my elder sister, as we all did, took the death very, very hard. But my sister had an extra guilt around her death because she wasn't there at the time. She was actually on a vacation or a holiday, as they say in England, and wished she could have been there, maybe could have seen something, could have, got help, could have been something. So she carried this guilt around with her, and she used to often say, the doctor told me I had 3 months to live, that would be fine with me because then I would be with mom. And, we felt like that initially the first day or two, but my sister kept repeating it and repeating it, at least for the first year. And then by the second year, after my mother's death, my sister Linda actually was diagnosed with a terminal illness. She had a brain tumor. And then she didn't make the 3 months. She actually passed away 5 weeks after the diagnosis.
Well, your sister also married on Valentine's Day her longtime boyfriend, who was sick with cancer, and took care of him before finding out that she was ill. Now, I talk to many people and say that the things we're most afraid of, the things we want and the things we don't want, by putting extensive attention and intention into this thinking, we can call this reality to ourselves, because the universe hears what we say, and they don't judge, they don't determine what is right or wrong, they just give us what we ask for. So in a way, your sister made that decision, and also we get born with a plan, a time to come and go. So there's really nothing so much to fret about, because as eternal souls who exist beyond this life, we will be fine, and we're all right. And you and I know that, and many of the listeners today already know that also. We're energy beings having a physical life to learn to feel and to know ourselves and the world in a more comprehensive way, let's say. So it was an amazing story of your sister and her courage to marry her boyfriend for many, many years, who was already sick. And she also, you'd say, had great humor about her. And when she came to you, she showed that humor, and she helped you decide to write a book that would show others that we're never alone, but guided by our loved ones, and they are assisting us in making the choices so we can fulfill our own personal soul destiny. And I think she helped you know that. So you call the next dimension heaven, but over the years I've simply called it upstairs. It seems to me, I'm just looking upstairs. They're all around us. I just need to meditate and relax and let go of this dimension for a little while and be upstairs with them. So I know you have found that also.
Yes, well, there are many, many names that people refer to the afterlife. So upstairs, or heaven, the spirit world, the afterlife. It's just knowing there's just another place out there, so we don't end our lives after the physical death. It actually takes away the fear. It took my fear away of the physical death, knowing that there truly is a place that we do go.
So
Yes.
let's go on to your sister. We already know how she passed. How did your grieving experience change after your sister passed away? Because you lost your mother and your sister so close together, and even though you understand they're all right, there is a still human component to this experience.
Well, yes. So when we lost our mother, again, it was very devastating, but we still had our sister, and she, in a way, became our mother, the head of the family again, a role that she'd often played as a child, helping mother out. It was different this time because we didn't have anyone to take her place. So we were just left floundering. We lost Mom and Linda. And then you start having these feelings of doubt and anger. You know, why did God take both of them? It's not fair. And you start having this
yes, that's normal. Yeah,
different type of grieving process. You kind of, with Mom, it was obviously very, very sad. But then when you get a second loss in such a short time, you just can't get your mind around the loss and how
yeah.
do you go on? What's next? What's gonna continue on? But one of the differences between losing my sister and my mom was that my mother's passing was instant with no forewarning. However, with my sister, we did have the 5 weeks up until her passing in a way to prepare, I guess, the best you can. And so when she was, you know, her last few weeks, when she was just having, you know, the palliative care, I did say to her that, you know, if there is an afterlife, come back and talk to me. I won't be frightened. I won't be scared. You know, just come back. Anything. I'll be waiting. I'll be waiting. And she just looked at me and just had like a knowing in her eyes that she would. And so it happened about 3 months after she passed away. So that was really one of the big differences between the two passings. Was this time, you know, I was hoping that she would communicate with me.
And, it's a beautiful thing when we get the message from our loved ones. Now, let's go on to something a little different. You wrote that the day that your mother died, you understood the meaning of love. And what you said was, love is a state of being, a connection you have to another person, animal, place, or thing. For me, the measure of that love can only be found once that person, animal, place, or thing is taken away from you. The pain you feel is the exact opposite of the love you felt. So, obviously,
yeah.
That's part of the cycle of learning to know who we are as loving, compassionate spirit or souls. And we can feel it so deeply and we can trust it.
Yeah.
So accurately. But let's go on to, you did mention omens and old wives' tales and superstitions. Well, I don't buy into much of that. I do know that sometimes we get a message. And your sister Linda got a message not too long before she passed. She was taking a flight to America. And can you tell us about that? Do you remember what happened?
First of all, I want to just say that in England, it's very much a cultural thing, having omens and things like that. People talk about them frequently and the belief in them.
And they are accurate. They can give you accurate information.
Yes. And so in the book, I actually talk about the time of the bird that hit the glass window. I was actually delivering a Christmas card to the neighbor next door who had a glass front door. And out of a small, low-lying bush, this bird violently hit the window and then just flew away, not even injured. And I was so shocked and traumatized by it because at first I thought, what was that big bang? And I saw the bird, and I thought, oh, it's just going to fall on the floor dead. But it didn't. It just, like, fluttered away as if it had given its message. And so when I spoke to my sister about that, we know from our culture that when a bird hits a window, it's a sign of death. And it happened to me as a child. I'd actually experienced a bird hitting the bus window. And lo and behold, a neighbor across the street passed away. So I knew it was a sign of death, but my sister assured me that it was for her husband, who had been diagnosed with lung cancer at the time. But deep down inside, I didn't quite believe it. I just knew it wasn't that, and I knew it was something more and something horrible. So when my sister passed away just 5 months later, I knew it was her, that the message was for her, the omen was for her, because her death to me came on very quickly and very violently, just like the bird who had hit the window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're getting signs and messages. People will call them by many names, coincidences, synchronicity, but we're all getting them. And they're just to remind us that we're working on this planet towards achieving a greater level of connectedness to all those in spirit and to raise our consciousness to a higher level of awareness. We forget it when we're first born, but over time, there are enough opportunities for us to begin to remember it. So let's go on to, I usually have fun-filled coincidences with my guests. And my fun-filled. And my first book, Life is No Coincidence, was part of an awakening process to the dual nature of life, so that now I know there are no coincidences at all, but just messages, and that there is a creative force of life that is eternal and expansive. Now, you mentioned you are a twin. Is that so?
Yes, I am.
And I have twin granddaughters, and I think the experience of living with twins has been amazing for my understanding of energy and soul life. And
yes,
you also say that your family believed in God, but they weren't particularly religious, and they sent you to a Sunday school, perhaps to give them a little time off, but I also begged my mother to go to Sunday school. We weren't religious, but I wanted to hear the stories of the guides and teachers and patriarchs. And you also lived in San Francisco with your husband, and my son lives there now. And that same son, Greg, had his first internship in England, and my daughter, Stacy, went to a summer program at Oxford. And one of my mentors, international medium Robert Brown, studied at Arthur Findlay College, and he's English. And I live in an English tutor house, so obviously.
Oh, very similar. I actually took a summer course at Oxford, too.
Oh!
That's not in the book, but yes, I did, and I too live in a Tudor house, and so yes, very, very similar.
We have a close connection. Perhaps in past lives, we were sisters. Now, you
yes.
mentioned taking your mom for her 60th birthday to the Windows of the World, a restaurant at the top of Twin Towers, and my husband
yes.
and I took our daughter, Stacy, there for her birthday. She was a child actress. We were in the city, and we went there. And another coincidence was, when your mother told you, you are not the second eldest child by accident, you are the family's guardian angel. And I am also the second eldest child, and was told by a medium many, many years ago, you are the light for the whole family. So, you see.
Wow, very similar.
But the beauty of it is, it doesn't always make much sense in the moment, but later down the road, it all starts, the puzzle pieces all start to fit together. Now, can you tell us something about your studies? I'm very interested in it, at the Arthur Findlay College of Psychic Sciences in England, and also about Lilydale, because I have an amazing story also about Lilydale. So tell us something there.
Yes. Oh,
you
yes. Okay. Yeah. So, I took a week's course at the Arthur Findlay College. They have a couple of classes that operate that teach every week, so the 7 days, and they have some weekend classes too, which are from Friday to Sunday night. But they're very intense, and if one was to go to a week there, you would learn very quickly a lot of good techniques and how to connect with the spirit world, and also you can learn psychic development as well. And they actually have a library there with nice artifacts and books on very famous mediums, such as the Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who's commonly known or famously known for his Sherlock Holmes series. But the teachings there are provided by excellent tutors who have been taught in the traditional spiritual national tradition, and you're just immersed. They teach you how the energy works, how to make the connection. So after 1 week there, you will come out feeling empowered to be able to make the connection. They do talk about whether or not it's a gift, a natural ability, or is it something that you can learn. That's always one of the questions out there, and I believe it's something that you can learn. But again, just like a great athlete, you know, you have to work at it.
Yes.
And some are gifted.
Yes. And some are born to do it. Others get interested and they can also learn, and they can use it in conjunction with whatever area of life they're working in. It doesn't have to be something that is only, you know, interested in spirituality. It can be something that can be used to help you in any endeavor that you take in life, because actually it's just an opening of awareness about who you are, what life's all about, and the death process. So it can be used everywhere. Now, you also say in your book that you have had interactions with a monk, a Native American Indian, other spirits who you refer to as the group, and even Jesus speaks to you. I also have met many of my guides, and in a new book that I'm working on now, New Life Awaits, Creating Your Best Afterlife, Living Consciously Now, I discuss one of my guides, George Washington, who over the years has appeared in dreams and through other people I meet, and most recently with our election here in the United States and the problems with, you know, the unrest worldwide, he has made his comments known, and it's in the epilogue of my book, which is now on my website, CherylGlick.com, for people to take a look at. So we know we can communicate when necessary with spiritual leaders and with teachers when we need information. And it's a great help to us. So, yeah. So tell us something about one of your guides.
Well, I'd like to talk about the monk. So the book was really about my sister and my mother communicating with me, and we got into a nice daily routine, if you like, with my mother communicating, then my sister, then both of them, and it was just nice. And this one day, after doing this for a few months, I was coming out of what I call my meditative state. There seemed to be something else that was keeping me from coming out of it, like a different energy, like an energy. And it was a very soft and sweet energy, so it felt nice. And I thought, well, I'll just stay in this state and just feel this energy that I was now enjoying. And it was the energy of this monk. And the way he showed me himself was a picture. So he showed me a picture of himself. And he just seemed so gentle and so kind and so sweet that I just like being in his energy. And so when his information came through, it was very easy to just stay there and write it all down, and to the point where I actually felt like I became friends with him.
Well,
I would wait for him.
Yes, they're all our friends. They love us so much. There are none of the lower vibrations that we experience here, you know, like jealousy or greed or anger or disease, you know. They love us. And I think you wrote about him, and I like this very much, like giving a drink of water to anyone can be the most important gift you give, and I am giving you one now out of the bowl. You may think it is just water, but see how wonderful it tastes when someone else gives you water, and you taste it for the first time in a different light because it is given to you full of love. And again, this is free. And when I read that, I cried. You know why? Because it reminded me when I was doing hospice volunteer work, I had a woman who had MS and she was totally paralyzed. And every time I walked into the room, I always asked her if I could do something for her. And she would shake her head, no. And the last time I saw her, I asked her, and she said, water, and water. And the nurse said I couldn't give it to her because it needed a special packet of hardening stuff. And she would choke on it, and she was out of that. And she said, maybe you can get it in the kitchen. So I ran to the kitchen, and I did find one package, and the nurse prepared the mixture, and I gave the woman the water, and she drank all of it. And it was the last time it was the last time I ever saw her. And the next week when I came, she had passed. So, you know, we have.
Yes, you could feel the love.
Yes, I knew what to do. And sometimes we don't know what to do when we're in the middle of dealing with someone who's so challenged. We want to do the right thing, but we didn't. But something made me. Maybe my guide made me run to the kitchen. I don't really know, but thinking about it, it was a beautiful thing to be able to share that last moment with her and do something when for weeks I couldn't do a thing for her. Yeah.
Yes. It is a beautiful thing, and there is a passage in the book that actually talks about that. You know, it is a two-way street, a two-way communication. You in order to give something, you have to have the other person to receive it.
Yes.
To keep it going, because if you give something and the other person's not receiving it, it's a blockage.
Mm-hmm.
And so the joy comes from giving, but the joy also comes from them from receiving.
Mm-hmm.
So you're both an experience in that love and that joy in something as simple as giving water to somebody.
And I've never told anyone that story, but when I read what you wrote, I felt I can say this. I think it's all right to say this. So I want to thank you, Angela Dawn, author of Love Never Dies, From Heaven My Sister Speaks, for sharing a remarkable downloading of soul-filled truths from your mom and Sister Linda and others in spirit who have journeyed by your side, sharing the miracles of life and love and the great wonderment of knowing that life and love are eternal. To purchase this very honest and accurate rendition of heaven, go to speakingwithheaven.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Angela and I have shared our aligned journey for finding the truth of spiritual communication and the joy we have enjoyed as mediums who share with others the messages from spirit that brim with such positivity and love, hope, and the truth of our universal source of creation, the oneness of our being, and the many opportunities for everyone to begin a meditation, prayer, or yoga practice where they may align their own soul energies to that of our loved ones in spirit. And know, whoever and whatever you wish to know is possible and probable if you just trust yourself and begin to follow the clues, coincidences, and synchronicities that spirit sends to all of us. If you already believe, you are fortunate. For those who question and want to believe, you will find a way to know. And for those who have not yet moved out of the restrictions and fears of their minds, we know that one day or one lifetime in the future, you will also know the truth. Angela wrote, if you have a memory of your loved one, as you see something that reminds you of them, you think how your loved one would have liked this. At that time, your loved ones are really with you because the same energy, the same love is with you. Your loved ones are always there and they wait for you to contact them, and their energy draws closer that you can feel them. Sometimes when you start to cry for no reason, their energy is so close and you instantly think of them. This is when the energy is strongest, because love is there. Love is the emotion that makes you cry, and the deeper the love, the more you cry. Angela and I would like you to remember that though we may cry and feel quite deeply any loss, it is in returning to a state of happiness, joy, and love of life, whether here or in heaven, that we find our natural state of soul being and truly are one with the universe. Fear cannot reside where there is love. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear metaphysicians, scientists, psychologists, mediums, energy healers, spiritualists, and artists express their views on life, energy, and the process of transformation. Shows may also be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.